Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Of our Lord, John wrote, "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This is our text. You may be seated. Last night, we basked in the candle-lit glow of Silent Night, the extraordinary drama of the Christ child born in the darkness of a stable creates this kind of air of sublime mystery. We try to imagine the announcement of angels across a midnight sky. We perhaps even picture ourselves making that same curious approach to the manger as the shepherds did. We marvel at this baby. We sing of this holy night. And gathered in the company of loved ones, we celebrate and worship. We enjoy an evening of fellowship together and then sleep in heavenly peace. What wonder, what beauty, what joy, what a heart-filled moment last night can be. And this morning, in the cool light of day, we return again to the sanctuary. The celebration continues, but the anticipation has passed, and the darkened glow of candlelight has given way to the brightness of daylight. What was the mysterious drama of that night by the manger is now, in the morning, an invitation for us to look back and to reflect and ask, what happened? If this is to be more than candlelight and family reunions and warm feelings, then what does it mean? And to answer that, John takes us back as far as human reason can go to describe the limitless bond between God the Father and God the Son. We read, "In the beginning was the Word." And so begins the Gospel of John with the impossible task of trying to use human language, human words, to describe what happened. And it is surely not by accident that this introductory phrase, "in the beginning," is the very same as found at the opening of Genesis, the very beginning of Holy Scripture, the very beginning of time. There we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, Genesis and John use somewhat different words, but their meaning is synonymous. Genesis describes each phase of creation occurring because God spoke. He spoke words. Or perhaps one should say he spoke the Word. John describes how the Word was with God in the beginning and how all things were created through him. And so this creative power of God is personified as he and him. He was in the beginning, and without him, nothing was made. We read, "The Word was with God." And so God and the Word are separate. But we also read, "The Word was God," and so God and the Word are entirely united. And this Word became flesh, became a human being, and made his dwelling among us. Now, we're merely three verses into the Gospel of John, and already the complexity is far beyond our grasp. How could human words ever fully describe the infinite God? The writer to the Hebrews also seeks to explain what happened when the Word of God became the child of Mary. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The very radiance of God and the exact imprint of his nature had actually come into the world. But rest assured that on this Christmas day, we do not endeavor to unravel this grand theological mystery that challenges even the most scholarly minds in the church. Instead, this morning, we hear again the echo of angel anthems. We rejoice over the proclamation of good news. Unto you is born a Savior. This Christmas morning, I invite you to consider this mysterious word of God simply as the expression of God's intention, his purpose. So here's what happened. In the beginning, God intended for the universe to be created. He spoke, and it was so. And today, that is enough. For today, we celebrate God's intention, his purpose behind all of this. And the intention, the desire of God is to love you, to love all of humanity, the crown jewel of his whole creation. Indeed, love is the very essence of God. As John writes later in his epistle letters, God is love. What a remarkable expression of that essence of God we see in the infant lying in a manger. God chooses to become one of us, to come among us, to be part of this human family. On purpose, he renders himself helpless, vulnerable, completely dependent upon the care of earthly parents. And remember, the dependence of the Christ child on Mary and Joseph, it doesn't just last long enough for us to celebrate Christmas for a few days. It goes on for years and years. The one who embodies the very creative intention of God has to learn to walk, to talk, to keep his hands away from the fire. He must learn, as all children do, to dress himself, to help out around the house. The one through whom supernovas exploded in the heavens, the one through whom DNA is assembled in the womb, this same one had to learn a common trade from his earthly father, using simple, ancient hand tools. Like a hammer, because that was God's intention, that Jesus be fully immersed in real and regular life. Here was the exact imprint of the nature of God, and yet for 30 years, the only way most everyone in the small circle of Nazareth knew him was as the oldest son of Joseph, the tradesman. Now, he was probably one of those guys that just seemed naturally nice and thoughtful and good at his job. Nothing especially out of the ordinary, really. And no one can see what had happened back in Bethlehem and what would happen in Jerusalem. But as John continues in verse 4, in him was life. So in this ordinary-looking man, we see first the life that God intended for all mankind, a life fully aligned with and obedient to the will of God. You see, God's purpose for you is always toward life, not death. His intention for the first man and woman he created was for them to live in the garden. Not to grow old and weary and die. And yet, from the time of that man and woman in the garden down to this very day, we have not chosen to live as God intended. We have all too often chosen to live as we intend, a choice that ushered darkness into our world. And yet John continues, his life was the light of men. And so in this ordinary looking man, we see not only a perfect individual life, but God's purpose to bring light to the world. That's what was happening, even in the manger. Light and life were coming into your world. Remember, the intention of God is to love all of humanity, to love you. Nowhere do we see that love more clearly than in the last chapter of Jesus' earthly life, when he purposefully puts down the tools of the trade of Joseph and he picks up the mantle of public ministry to declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's purpose to restore a relationship between mankind and God was literally walking among them, preaching, teaching, healing, and calling all back to repentance. But as John describes, the world did not know him. His own people did not receive him. They could not or would not recognize the one whom God intended to fulfill his promise to send a Messiah. And even that resistance fulfilled Jesus' purpose on earth. He was walking toward the cross. He had told the disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed, and on the third day rise again." You see, there was nothing accidental in Jesus' life. He was born where God intended, lived according to God's will, and died for your sins and mine, just as God intended it all to happen. And yet, even from our modern vantage point, it's easy to miss what really happened in Bethlehem. It's the Christmas card image of a baby in a quaint setting is cute, as newborns usually are. The anthems of the angels is portrayed as sweet. What was first terrifying to the shepherds and then life-changing is seen today as, well, fairly harmless. Their chorus of peace on earth is just appealing. And who wouldn't want a little more peace on earth? But those modern caricatures of this Christmas epic so easily and perhaps quite deliberately miss the point. God intended to put human flesh on the awesome power of his word to bring love to earth in human form, to bring love into your life. And so Jesus was born, the hidden radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of his nature. God confronted the darkness of evil, not with simple glad tidings, but with a perfect sacrifice of love. And so remember this Christmas day that the intention of God is to love you, to call you his child. For John writes, "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called the children of God." And as you look with faith into the manger, see the human face of God, your Lord and Savior. Jesus was born out of God's love for you. It is the greatest intention of God for you to be called his child on this Christmas day and every day. For that is what happened. And may the gift of God be the very center of your celebration. Merry Christmas. Amen.